afternoon and welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Wow, we dodged a bullet with Irma. You know, you've got to feel so much sympathy for the people in Florida, on up through Georgia and all, but wow, when I was looking at that storm last week and what it could have done coming up through Charleston and all, you know, I went down and Jordan did come home, Charleston Southern closed up for about a week. You know, wow. But you gotta thank goodness it wasn't anything more than some downed trees and a little bit of flooding. If you're going to donate to those causes, both in Texas and Florida, pick a reputable one. Be careful. You know, do your due diligence when you donate to those kinds of organizations that say they're out there helping people when they're, you know, a lot of it's going to salaries and all the other stuff. But, hey, we're in the clear. Going to have a little warm spell here, I think, for a week or so, which is not good because deer season's here, and it needs to be 40 in the morning and 60 in the afternoon, not 85. But, hey, it's coming. It's be patient. You know, afternoons will get cool. Weekends will be made for hiking and all, and it's just a great time to be in South Carolina. I hate I missed this. I had somebody we used to do Chuck Norris every week, and I may need to get back to that. But somebody sent me this on Chuck Norris. It says, Chuck Norris once stared into a solar eclipse without eye protection. And, you know, Chuck Norris has got this steely stare and all, and it says, the sun went blind. Gotta love Chuck jokes. They're good. But look, today is going to be a great show. We're going to talk to the one and only Eva Shockey about her new book, Taking Aim. And then we're going to talk to Becky Horace about the Venture Outdoors Day in Pickens, South Carolina coming on September 30th. So hang on. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be fast. A lot of information for you to take in, but a good one. Stay tuned through the break. Back with more Woods and Water, South Carolina on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's always great when you have returning guests, and the one I have on is just incredible. She's been on Fox and Friends, Cheddar, which is a post-cable network. I've had to look that up. Good Morning Texas, and a whole lot of other media outlets launching her new book. No, it's not Hillary Clinton. Thank goodness. It's the one and only Eva Shockey, and she's just released her first book, Taking Aim. Eva, thank you so much for coming back on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me back.
You and I were talking earlier. It's been a little hectic on the book tour. It's got to be fun, though.
It's been so cool. It's been an incredible experience. By far my favorite part is, after all that work of writing a book, which it is a lot of work, I realize, it's pretty incredible to see people really holding it in their hands, and lots of them have read it already by the time they get up to me and come get it signed, and they say, you know, this chapter really stood out, or this story stood out, or this reminds me of my family. And we've had really incredible feedback. I feel very lucky, so it's really cool to see that it all came together.
It's not luck, it's a lot of hard work. You've done it. I've read your book. I enjoyed it for what it's worth. I thought it was a very easy read, which I like. I don't like hard books to read. Informative. I mean, you come through the book and you've come out the other side going, yeah, I kind of know Eva Shockey.
Yeah, that was the intention, and it wasn't meant to be a how-to hunt. Like, these are the facts of exactly how you go hunt a whitetail, because it wasn't supposed to be that. It was supposed to be a fun read. It was supposed to be something that, exactly what you're saying, kind of entertaining people and showing the backstory a little bit, and then hopefully inspiring people to get outdoors and try something new.
And that kind of just washes out my first question. Why'd you want to write the book? You know,
it really was just for that. I wanted to get that message out about empowering people to go against the grain and try something that's new for them, even if maybe they're not the typical person to do it. So in my situation, I obviously am a female in a male-dominated world, and there are other females that do it, definitely, but there still are a lot more guys, and it's a little bit, I guess, quote-unquote, unusual for a girl to go and make it into her career. And I just love it so much, and I love what I do, and there was a lot of times throughout the process of getting to where I am now that I wrote about in the book that I could have turned the other way and I could have walked away and maybe got a little bit less backlash. But in the end, I think all of that was worth it. All the negativity and pushback from people is worth it, because now I'm doing what I love, and I didn't listen to all the voices out there that were telling me I shouldn't do it for whatever reason they decided I shouldn't be doing it for.
Yeah, you have certainly made an impact in the world of hunting the outdoors. You're a great role model. I'll tell you that from my standpoint. My daughter Taylor just loves. I took my book into her and gave it to her, and she started reading it, and then she had the accent, so she couldn't finish it. But she, man, she follows you all over the place and talks about you. So from my standpoint, you're just a great role model for both women and men, because the message you bring, both through your hunting shows and your appearances and the book, is one that everybody can tap into.
Thank you. Yeah, the book was definitely intended to be to appeal to hunters, because there are a lot of hunting stories and a lot of things that anyone that already hunts can definitely relate to. They can see the backstory of my family. They can see, you know, how we did what we did when I was growing up and all the way through. But a big part of the book, which was a challenge to write because I was trying to not explain so much that the hunters were bored, but then explain enough that people that don't hunt, they're not over their head in what I'm talking about. So sure. I really walked a fine line, because I want people, I say, if you don't hunt, this book is perfect for you to pick up, because it really shows you why hunters do what we do, and why, not even just hunters, but people that appreciate outdoors and nature and filling the freezer, all the good things that we're doing for this planet. And then I even say, if people think they don't like hunting, if they think they're an anti-hunter, pick up this book and read it. And I really would love them to just see all the facts about how great of a job hunters are doing on this planet for conservation. Sure. And for wildlife management and protection. And it's pretty hard to argue at the end of it. If you think you don't like hunting, I think you'd walk away with a different attitude.
I think you would too. One thing you mentioned there was family. You know, everybody can agree that family is so important. There are a lot of passages in this book about your family. Family is important. Why much so in your upbringing and hunting and traditions and all that? Talk about your family just a little bit.
Yeah, family has always been the number one thing for me. It's been the catalyst of how I started hunting in the first place. I wanted to go spend a little more time with my dad because he loved hunting so much, and I wanted to see what it was he loved about it. But for us, hunting is just a lifestyle, and that's exactly what I say throughout the entire book. It's a lifestyle. It's not to be a hunter you aren't just a hunter in that 1 week during hunting season or 2 weeks where you're out there in the tree stand. That's not when you're a hunter. You're a hunter all the time, because you're out there spending time in the outdoors, you're unplugging, you're spending time with family, which I think a lot of people could do with spending more time with, whether it's their immediate family or friends that they consider family, just people they care about, without a cell phone in your face and emails and phone calls and TV and social media and all those things that really distract from the quality time you get to spend together. And hunting allows for that, because lots of times there's no service, or, you know, you're wearing gloves and you can't be on your phone. And it's just things like that that really allow you to disconnect and take a minute and just appreciate the people you're around. And family was just a huge part. And now I have an 8-month-old daughter. My husband and I both love to hunt. So we've already been bringing her out, actually. She came to hunting camp last weekend. She'll be coming in a couple of weeks again. And it's just something you pass down to the generations, so that hunting as a lifestyle sticks around for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's very important to pass along the next generation. I've seen you. She's already been out on the doe field. She's been at Hunt Club. And you started out writing this book. You were pregnant with her. You took her on your elk hunt when you were 7.5 months pregnant. So she's got a great start in the outdoors, and you got to love that no matter who you are. You remember now, you're talking to a South Carolina deer hunter, and you know, you're a Carolinian now, so you know what our weather's like down here. One of the best chapters in the book that I liked was your first deer hunt. Tell us a little bit about the first deer hunt you went on, and especially talk about the cold.
Yeah, well, Saskatchewan, Canada is where I tend to hunt deer the most. That's where my family, we have a hunting area out there. We bring clients, so that's how actually by trade we are outfitters. So we bring clients on hunts, and I don't personally do it, but it's a family business. So I spent a lot of time out there hosting clients and entertaining them and all that. And so eventually when I finally was ready to go hunting myself, it was a bit of a shock to the system, because even when I was out there my whole life growing up before I was a hunter and I was there, I wasn't sitting on stand for 12 hours a day. So I was not truly, truly experiencing the bitter cold of Saskatchewan in November. And when I started that first time, there's a whole chapter about it, because it was the first time in my hunting experience where I started questioning whether maybe I don't like hunting. Maybe hunting's not for me, because this is not exciting. This is not fun. This is, you know, you're freezing cold. You're sitting there literally from 2 hours before sunup to an hour after sundown just to let the deer get out of there so you can just walk out of the stand. And it was a bit of a shock, and it was sort of one of those moments where, again, I could have gone either way. I could have said, okay, I'm going to keep hunting, or, you know, maybe hunting's not for me. And my dad really was instrumental in that point, that turning point, which I think is what parents are good for, is really giving you sound advice when you need it. And he saw me struggling and realizing just, you know, I was uncomfortable and it wasn't fun. There weren't animals everywhere like what I thought there would be. You know, that's just what people think. You go out there and there's just deer everywhere, and that's not the case. And he really sat me down and said, it's not about harvesting the animal. It's not about seeing a ton of deer all day long. I mean, that's great if it happens, but it's about appreciating nature and appreciating the little things. So look around and see the sun going up, or the dew coming off the trees, or the squirrels scurrying along, or, you know, the sounds or the smells or whatever, or if you want to reflect on something else that you appreciate in that moment, that's what that's about. It's about being in nature and just fitting into nature and not making a big fuss and telling everyone you're there. You know, you're just sitting there and you're just blending into everything else. And that was something that over the years I've used a lot. I've reflected a lot, because there's often other hunts when I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is not fun. You know, I'm freezing, or I'm soaking, or I don't want to say that. I wasn't allowed to say the word bored when I was little, so I try not to say it. But, you know, I'm not being entertained in this moment of my life. And I think about that. I go, okay, look at the trees, look at the leaves, look at the whatever birds I can hear. And that, it really does get you through, because those things deserve to be appreciated as well. And they are really incredible when you take a minute and actually slow down and just focus on them instead of just, you know, being, not noticing them.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times, being older, I've shot my share of deer. I've killed enough ducks. You know, a lot of times I just get lost in being outdoors and kind of forget the reason I'm out there, so to speak. And that's something that needs to be appreciated right along with the hunt. You're exactly right on that. Hey, Eva, I got somebody on the phone here calling in that I think wants to ask you a question. Caller, you there?
I'm here, Daddy. Hey, Eva.
Hey, how are you? Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you, too. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I heard you had a little bit of an accident.
Yeah, just a little bit. You know, four-wheelers apparently aren't my thing, but that's okay.
Yeah, I
get over that.
I hear you. It's all about being safe, isn't it? It's a little bit of a shock, but that'll, next time you get on one, you'll make sure you're a little more a little more on top of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I honestly could not let my broken leg and concussion keep me from talking to you today. I was like, you know what? Concussion, broken leg, no. I'm not letting you stop me from talking to Eva Shockey today.
But I'm glad that you're on here. I love talking to you.
Well, Taylor, go ahead.
I just have a couple of questions. So I haven't been able to read your book yet. I did get to read the first chapter, but I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. So when I start reading, I'll be able to come to the good parts. So what hunting adventure that you wrote and Taking Aim is your favorite?
I think my favorite would have been right at the end of the whole book. It was after all the stories and everything that I was talking about, and it was me up on a mountain hunting 7.5 months pregnant with my daughter Lenny Bo in my stomach. And it was one of those moments where I just realized how much I can really do and how much more mentally tough I am than I thought I was, and that, you know, just because I'm having a baby doesn't mean I give up on all these things that I love so much, because I owe it to her and I owe it to myself to really continue living the life that I believe in and that I'm passionate about. And now she is 8 months old, so she was born after that, and now we're bringing her out into the woods ourselves. And hunting is a lot about passing it down from generation to generation, and I've always preached that, and it's something my parents have always taught me. But up until recently, 8 months ago, I didn't have another generation personally to pass it down to in my own family, and now I do. And I've realized it's it's definitely a little more challenging to do it, like to go out in the woods or go to hunting camp with a baby versus staying at home and watching TV and like staying in your comfort zone. But I really do believe it's worth it. It's worth the extra effort. It's worth all the planning. And that was, that chapter kind of kicked that off. It just showed me that, you know, I want to bring her up in the outdoors just like I was. And that was the first step, was when I was pregnant, and now she's born, and now we're continuing on.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like a great chapter. I'm totally going to go read that. So what chapter do you like best in the book?
That's a tough question. That's a really tough question. There's definitely a whole bunch of different ones, because they sort of tell all different stories, all different parts of my life. One of them that I don't necessarily like the best, but I think it's a strong chapter, would be the one about the negativity that hunters get. It's called Haters Hate. I think it's chapter 8, maybe. And it's not necessarily that I love it. I just think it's something important to read, because it talks about how no matter what in your life you are facing or what you're trying to do, there will always be obstacles, whether it's something like I did where I'm a female in a male-dominated field and it was just not stereotypically normal for someone like me to make that into my job, or whether it's a younger girl trying to do something that, you know, people are saying that's not normal for you, or whether it's someone trying to change their career path or to get a university degree or a million other things in the world. Every single person on this planet has obstacles in front of them. And so that chapter highlights what I was going through for the purpose of not just telling people what I dealt with, but for the purpose of showing them that this happens, people are going to push back. There is going to be negativity and there's going to be challenges that you're going to have to face no matter what. But the thing you need to do is just push through that. You need to focus on whatever it is at the end of the day that you want to accomplish and that your goal is, and what you know is going to make you happy with your job or your life or whatever, your family. And just try to get there, because the people, you can't give power to all the people around you that are saying no. And that's a very, very strong message throughout Taking Aim that I try to say, is you deserve to do whatever it is that makes you happy in your life, that you're passionate about. And just, you have to ignore the obstacles along the way, or at least push through them. And sometimes you're going forward and they push you back a couple steps, and then maybe you have to take a step sideways and push forward again. And you don't always get there exactly on the same path you planned, but usually you can get there in the end if you keep trying.
Yeah, definitely. This is why I love you, because the way you look on things, you make a lesson out of everything. And I love it. I'm sorry, I do.
Now, why? Now, wait a minute now. I make a lesson out of a lot of things, and you don't like me too much.
Yeah, you do, but you're my dad, so I'm kind of expecting
it
from
you. Yeah, it's totally different being my dad.
Well, let me jump back in here then, because we're running a little short on time, and Taylor, since you're there, and I don't know, your sister might still be around, I don't know. Eva, I'm a dad. I've had a lot of fun with my girls talking about boys and all, but I'm to that area in my life now where I've got to deal with them a little bit. How did Dad Jim Shockey handle pesky little boys that found your way to your front door?
Well, there were none before my husband.
Really?
But he had a thing that he had a big trophy room in our house, a big sort of, I guess, man cave where all of his everything was from all of his hunts around the world. And there was always sort of one little area on the wall that had nothing, and he used to just joke that there's a spot on the wall out there if anyone messes with you. And it was, I think more than anything, most of the boys in my school were all scared, even if I wanted them to come home, just because everyone knew who my dad was. And I came from an area where there were not a lot of hunters, so it wasn't a normal thing to say, oh, her dad hunts. It was a very unique situation for my brother and I to have a dad that was a hunter, especially worldwide hunter that did it all year long. So it was kind of more of a joke than anything. But I guess when you meet the right person, like my husband, Tim, he was a hockey player. He was exactly the right fit for me. And I brought him home, and there was absolutely nothing that my dad wanted to do to scare him away, because he was saying, this guy better marry my daughter. And he said there's actually, when Tim asked for my hand in marriage from my dad. He asked him before he proposed. My dad had been joking because we knew at some point Tim was going to ask. And my dad had been joking with my mom, I guess, that he was going to really make it tough and kind of like grind it a little bit and make Tim all uncomfortable. And Tim asked him, and Tim said he saw tears in my dad's eyes. And my dad immediately, immediately said, of course. So he's not quite as tough as he looks, I think. He's a big teddy bear underneath all that.
Hey, Taylor, do I sound a little bit like Jim Shockey in that one?
Yeah, just a little bit. It's kind of scary. That's yeah, just a little bit.
Eve, I've threatened mine with, you know, if they mention a boy's name, they put his life in danger. You know, just mentioning his name. And then if it goes any further than that, you know, I know some places down the Cooper River got some really big alligators.
Yeah, I think that's just a bad response in general.
It is. Well, look, I know you're pressed on time. I appreciate you being here. Before you go, you can find the book where? Where all can you find Taking Aim?
So Taking Aim, it just launched last week, so it's available wherever books are sold. So you can go to your local bookshop, you can go to Cabela's, you can go to Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, any of those in-store, or you can also go online. Amazon, obviously, where they sell a million books. Or you can go to evashockey.com, and there's a full list of where you can get it online.
It is a great book. It's full of, yes, stories. It's full of information about you, your life, growing up, how you got involved in hunting and all. One of the things that I found when I was doing a little bit of research on this is you've inserted a few quotes. You come up with them, put them in the book, and you've got a few of them out there. I downloaded a list. There's seven of them on this list. Leave us with one of your quotes from the book, those inspirational quotes you came up with.
off the top of my head. at the beginning of every chapter, there's a lot of Bible verses, and there's a lot of different things that throughout my life have kind of meant things to me, just because I think you need something like that, that you don't necessarily need to go read the entire book every single day, but sometimes I just pick up, and I mean, I pick up other people's books that I'll pick up and say, oh, I just need a little bit of something to read, and I'll read one random chapter, one random paragraph. So one of them, I just picked it up because this is one that I do love. Experience is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted. And that's something, you don't always get the thing you went after, but you get something. And you might not have planned for it, but generally I do believe that it helps you in some way going forward, whatever it is, even if you can't see it at the time, you'll eventually figure it out that experience was something that you needed to be able to move forward and do the things that you wanted to do.
One of my favorites in hunting is in life, sometimes the thing you need most isn't the thing you went looking for.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually not too far from that experience one. It really is. You don't always look for the things you end up getting out of a situation, but I think they're great, and that's exactly the same as appeals to hunting.
Very good. Eva, thank you for being on with us. Taylor, you want to end it up for us?
Sure. Thank you so much, Eva, for letting me talk to you and answer my questions. You're just a great girl.
Thanks for talking. Thank you. You too. I hope you start feeling better and get back out there in the woods.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eva.
Bye, guys.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. There is never, ever a Saturday goes by without something to do in the outdoors. And coming up on the 30th of this month, we have Pickens County putting on their Venture Outdoors Day. I'm joined by Becky Horace from Pickens County. Becky, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. City of Pickens, up there in the mountains, foothills. Hey, you got some elk that are like straggling down across.
Yeah.
So y'all are really becoming...
We have a lot of bear, too.
A lot of bears up there. It's a great place to be in the outdoors. City of Pickens, Venture Outdoors. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. Well, we are going to have an outdoor festival, basically, with free workshops all day long from 8 until 5 that anybody can come enjoy. All you have to do is register. And really, you don't even have to pre-register if you don't want. It just helps us to ensure, you know, if there's a hands-on activity, that there's enough equipment. But it's for families. Any age can participate. And we are trying to cover every possible thing you can do in the outdoors in our area.
I would say y'all are doing a good job of it. You got astronomy, beekeeping, bike maintenance. I guess that's important. If you might mountain bike, you need to know how to repair your broken bike.
Definitely.
Bird watching, Clemson recreational therapy.
Yeah, they just kind of slid right on in there. They wanted to be a part of our day. So really, they were interested in doing like a yoga workshop and a line dancing workshop. And they're also doing a low ropes course. So not necessarily as outdoorsy as some of the other ones, but it still gets people off the couch and outside.
That's right. And that's the goal of most anything. When you put on something like this, you want as many people coming out, ditching the technology. You know, we talk so much about that, the technology and all, but a lot of times it's a necessary evil. You know, I've on my phone, I've got a first aid app.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's nice. It's just a little bit of a comfort feeling to know that in a pinch, I can, you know, hit that thing. But it's also nice to be able to turn that off and
exactly.
Say, I don't even need that anymore. Keep it on. You got fly fishing, hiking, nature. All this is free?
Yes. Everything's free. And if you pre-register, I even have a gift for you.
A gift
for
you.
I know, just to top it off.
That's for you people that are procrastinators, trying to get you to be proactive this time instead of waiting till the last minute.
Yes.
Let's cover this right now when we're on it. How do people go online, find the Outdoor Adventure Day, and pre-register?
Sure. You can go on our social media, Facebook. We are posting about our Venture Outdoors Day multiple times a day.
Okay.
And you can click on any of those links, or you can go to www.cityofpickens.com/Venture Outdoors. And you can just click on whatever workshop interests you and sign up for that. You know, we do ask for your email address. Some of them might ask for a phone number. That's just in case, you know, there's some sort of rain delay or anything like that to where we can contact you. But it's a great opportunity. We have different workshops every hour of the day to where somebody can schedule out, well, I want to go to, you know, rock climbing at 8. I want to do kayaking at 9. And everything's right very close together. So it's not like you have to drive a long distance to get to your next workshop.
That was going to be my next question. This is all happening downtown Pickens, right?
Yes, right on Main Street. We have our amphitheater at 114 West Main. You really won't be able to miss it. We'll have tents and balloons. But like, we do have the kayaking workshop, which is down off of City Lake Road.
Okay.
But I mean, a stone throws away, really close. And then we also have a few workshops like the bird watching and the hiking over at the rec center where two of our races will be. Again, it's maybe 2 minutes away.
Okay.
So
nothing is that
crazy.
Walking or driving?
I would drive.
You would drive?
Yes.
Okay. Just to put it in perspective, I've got the maps here, but I really didn't know how far between these venues things
sure,
were.
Sure. Definitely drive to it.
Definitely drive to it. None of this happens without sponsors.
That's
and I
right.
I try not to. A lot of times I tack it on the end of the conversation or whatever, but you know, we're into the just kind of the whole thing. Who are some of the sponsors? Who are some of the people that are coming out putting on these venue conferences or activities all during
the day? We got so lucky. REI really wanted to be a part of our day, and they're hosting 4 workshops that day. And then we have Perception Kayaks, you know, which is a part of Confluence Water Sports. They're amazing. And he's Scott Byers over there is going to do 4 kayaking workshops, and he's bringing kayaks for everybody to use, so you don't have to bring your own kayak. And they donated a pedal kayak, the Pescador Pilot, for one of our raffle items. It's like an $1,800 kayak.
Wow.
So that's an exciting raffle ticket item on the day. We also have Cabela's. They just called, and they want to be a part of the day. They're going to have their inflatable archery contraption up all day from 8 to 5.
Air archery.
Yes. Where people can just come up anytime. There's no registration for that. You just come up, check it out.
Yep.
But we got very lucky with our sponsorships this year.
You know, Cabela's, I'm amazed how much they do in the community for the outdoors. They host those workshops over there. And the reason I knew about the air archery is they had my daughter's archery team come out and volunteer.
Whoa.
And it's a big inflatable. They're little balls that are suspended on airstreams, and you shoot, you know, blunt tip arrows. You don't have to be an archer to do this now.
That's right.
Because they're going to be there to help you, you know, knock the arrow, know how to hold and everything. And it's just fun. It's just fun. It's getting hands-on in an environment you normally wouldn't get to.
Definitely.
Perception Kayaks. I remember back in the 80s.
Yeah.
When they first started.
And in Pickens County.
In Pickens County.
Yep.
Amazing. A little building out there in the country. And I can remember going out there. I was working for a local CPA firm and went out there and was like, wow, this is really cool. Kayaks. I'd never seen one before. And we had one manufactured right here in South Carolina. It's amazing they're still here.
Yeah, I know. And they actually gave me a tour the other day of their facility. I had no idea how they made kayaks. It was fascinating.
So how do they really make neat. Kayaks?
They have these like molds, and I'm not an engineer to where I can explain this to you, but it was really cool to watch, you know.
It's just poured in.
They rotate it around to where it's the plastic, I guess, is molded to their mold, and then they pop it right out. I mean, it was amazing.
Do you have a kayak?
No, I want one, though. So my husband's going to the workshop to figure out what kind we need while I'm working all day. He'll be partaking.
See, that's exactly what sponsors are after. When they put out the effort and all that, you need to give them some love.
For sure.
And going to REI and buying something or looking at a Perception kayak because it's putting right back into the local economy.
Yes.
And that's important. Small business in South Carolina just actually nationwide supports more jobs and big business.
That's right.
So you remember that when you go shopping next time. And take that out of Cabela's, but they do put a lot back into the local
community. Sure. And we actually have one sponsor that I'd love to mention, Southern Appalachian Outdoors. They are on Main Street in Pickens.
Okay.
And without Marty Fields and his team, this day would not happen. He's kind of like part of my brain trust to make it happen, you know, and he has helped me so much, and he does all the fly fishing.
Yes.
And they offer actually fly fishing trips you can take too, and he'll take you up and teach you everything, and they are fantastic. So besides, you know, we've got our big names. We couldn't do it without Marty at Southern Appalachian Outdoors.
Every event like this has somebody that's kind of the linchpin that's kind of does all the work, and you know, it gets very little credit. So I'm glad you gave him some credit on that one. You need to take up fly fishing, too.
I know.
That's another.
I have to work the day, though, so I don't know how I'm ever going to enjoy it until I get staff. I need staff.
Well, just the week after, you need to go and take your fly fishing and all. There is nothing more relaxing in the world, and I've fished all over from Gulfstream to Mexico to Alaska. Fly fishing on a small mountain stream is the ultimate, to me, in relaxation. It's just the sound of the water, you just kind of lose yourself until like one time I was up there, I don't know, last part of April, enjoying myself, doing nice and quiet, and I heard somebody go, "Hey, you." And I almost had a heart attack looking at the game warden.
Oh.
He wanted to check my license, you know. So they sneak up
ruins
on you at
the moment,
worst time.
Yeah.
Back to this whole thing.
Sure.
You got a run. You got a half marathon that's going to take
place. We do. Half marathon on the Doodle Trail. It will be really just down halfway down the Doodle and back. To where the trailhead is. So we don't go off the road, nothing like that. It's our first attempt at a half marathon in Pickens. So hopefully that'll go well. We have a lot of people signed up so far. So
really?
I hope we continue to grow that. Yes.
I'm glad people enjoy running. I sure don't.
No, no, me either.
Mountain bike race?
Yes. Upstate Sorba helps us to put on a mountain bike race. And they're the local upstate mountain bike group here. And so we have $1 million mountain bike park in Pickens behind the rec center. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
I didn't know.
So that's actually how Venture Outdoors Day came to be. We have this amazing park. And when I came on at Pickens, I said, well, we need to market this better. So I thought we needed to have an event there. And then the mountain bike event kind of evolved into, well, let's get people here. Pickens is an outdoor recreation destination, and we need to show them all the things we have to offer. So we went from a mountain bike race to this humongous day, and we're only in our second year, but this mountain bike race will take place at 2 p.m. behind the rec center, and that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, little kids can actually do that, too. We had a five-year-old last year ripping it up. You would not believe how fast you could go on that track. Yeah.
They're fearless.
They are, yep, and you just have to have a helmet to participate.
Okay.
You still need to register because it is a race, but we do have to turn away people that don't have a helmet, so just to keep them safe.
Helmets are good.
Yes.
But kids are fearless. They bounce, and the distance they're falling is not near what you and I would fall.
True. Very true.
It keeps me from doing a lot of things like mountain biking. I just went through and picked out a couple of things that I thought were really interesting that would be on my list of A1 things. That's bird watching.
Sure.
You know, bird watching, number one, I say every family ought to have a pair of binoculars.
Definitely.
Sitting beside the kitchen counter or whatever, because birds are everywhere. You bird feeders out back and all that. But a good basic bird watching course is essential to everybody.
Yes, sure. This one is very, you're a novice, a beginner. They're going to take you out. These are actually just local enthusiasts. This is their hobby. They love it. And they offered to volunteer to do this for me. So they're going to, I guess, have like a little bit of a classroom setting to discuss some fundamentals, okay, and then take everybody outside behind the rec center. I believe the city of Pickens, we own about like 130 acres. That's all wooded,
okay,
behind the rec center. And that's actually where our 5K trail run is that day as well.
Right.
So this bird watching course, they'll get hands-on experience to check it out, you know, and see what they can see.
Birds are always around. When I was talking to Eva Shockey on her interview, we were talking about, yeah, you go into the woods and you may go hunting, but there's so much going on while you're sitting there in a deer stand or in a duck blind or wherever you are. And one thing I get distracted easily, I'm sorry, is birds. I love sitting in a tree stand. I take my camera with me.
Yep.
And a lot of times I'll see deer and all, and I shoot pictures of them. But birds are interesting to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
They're so different, the way they act, what they feed on. One of my best pictures I ever took was a cardinal. It was January, so it was really bright red.
Mm-hmm.
He was hanging upside down on a limb picking berries off. And I just got lost. There were deer walking around. I was like, oh, they're deer.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm deer hunting.
That's right. You know?
But birding is something you can do year-round in South Carolina.
Definitely.
There are birds that are resident here. There are birds that are migratory through here. So a course like this for somebody who's just looking to put their toes in the outdoors is an easy thing to do.
Definitely. That's an easy outdoor hobby to get into.
And it doesn't take travel. You can have birds in your backyard.
Definitely.
Feeder. Look, don't mess with all the little seed. Just get you some black old sunflower seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you need.
I just learned that recently. We got new seed in there, and I lost all my birds. I was so mad at my husband. I was like, go back to what we were doing before,
back,
man.
and you know, I like the little finch seed and stuff like that. But, man, black old sunflower seeds, if you're a birder, that's where it's at. Fly fishing. We mentioned this earlier.
Yes. This is Marty's workshop.
This is Marty's workshop.
This one does have limited spacing.
Right.
Because he is bringing all of his fly fishing equipment. I believe on there it said maybe 12 is the limit.
Yes, 12
and,
people.
You know, we've got a lot of people have signed up so far. So
he's got two sessions. He got a morning session and an afternoon session.
He does.
So you can fit in 24 people during the day.
Yes. And, you know, and we're not going to turn anybody away, but the people that are registered will get their hands-on equipment versus somebody that might just walk up.
Sure.
So, but it's going to be a great day with Marty and his fly fishing. We have so much space at the amphitheater. He'll teach you how to cast and everything that goes along with that.
One thing I learned about fly fishing from someone who was a cancer survivor is that fly fishing is a great therapeutic cancer treatment.
I had no
especially
idea.
Especially for women who've had breast cancer, because it's a rhythmic motion.
Oh.
And it's so it works the upper body. But at the same time, it's relaxing. They say it is better than yoga as far as relaxation goes.
That's fascinating.
So
I had no idea.
Casting for Recovery and all that, the Cancer Survivors Network, they use fly fishing.
Cool.
As both as a group activity, but also as relaxation technique and a therapeutic outreach at the same time.
That's fantastic.
It's really neat to hear someone who went through cancer talk about how fly fishing helped them through, and also at the same time, you're rebuilding those muscles.
For sure.
It's a great thing. Nature photography. We've already talked about how easily I get distracted with the camera. Another easy way to get involved in the outdoors. Something
yes.
that you know, we often talk about going outdoors and leaving it better than you found it, not leaving anything out there. Photography is the way that you can go in the outdoors and actually bring something back with you while still leaving everything just like you found it.
That's exactly right. We have a local business owner, Doug Tate, and he is a photographer as well. And he offered to do two courses that day. So he's got your, you know, novice course in the beginning
okay.
of the day where you'll just learn very basic ways to use your DSLR and things like that. And really, and you can bring any camera, you know.
Sure.
He'll even talk about how you can use your iPhone. But then he has a more advanced class in the afternoon. So really, if you want to go to both, you can. And
yeah.
But you're right. It's a great way to appreciate the outdoors and, you know, keep everything intact.
You just have to remember, once you go out there, come back and download a few pictures. Pick a couple and print them.
Yes, you must print them.
You must print your pictures, people. Just don't store them for nobody to enjoy.
That's right.
Outdoor recreation anatomy and physiology presentation. This is what we were talking about with Clemson, right?
No, that's nope. actually something different.
Something different, okay.
Yeah, we have a local guy, Brad Caldwell. He is an associate professor, I believe. So he actually does this for a class when he's teaching.
At Greenville Tech.
Yes.
That's right.
So he
yes.
said, I've got this material. I'd like to do this class as well in case anybody was interested. So this one is definitely more of a classroom setting, and it okay. will be at the rec center, you know, where he has a projector and things like that.
it talks about, you know, what does he talk about here? Because he had a quote in here. Exercise not only helps us to maintain a proper body weight and physical conditioning, but it also limits the effects of aging, reduces stress, diminishes the risk of chronic diseases, and increases the overall quality of life provided by personal and spiritual growth. And that's what the outdoors does for you.
That's right.
Absolutely. One last thing. REI, we talked about them. We're coming up on leaf season. Mm-hmm. It's late September, October. I noticed there's already a couple trees starting to turn.
For sure.
At my farm. Man, fall and winter backpacking. You couldn't pick a better time to be outdoors in Pickens County.
Sure.
Around the mountain. REI is going to do a winter, fall, winter backpacking after both a morning and afternoon session.
Yes, that's right. They really just want to give people the knowledge they need to get outside and go. And they don't plan on promoting any one particular product, anything like that. It's just these are some basic things that you need to start this new hobby. So, yeah, it's a great time for it, too. You're right, especially with the leaves changing. It's going to be really nice.
And a lot of people don't know how to get started. That's why why workshops like these, no matter what you're picking off of this list, if you go to the website, which is cityofpickens.com/ventureoutdoors.
Yes.
No matter what you pick off of here, it's a way to get started.
That's right.
And a lot of people will look at the outdoors. They look at a television show. They look at an advertisement. They look at a magazine cover, and they see all this people that can, you know, bass fishermen or hunters out west or hikers on the Appalachian Trail, and they want to get there. They just don't know how to get started.
Definitely. No,
I agree. There's such a gap between there. And that's why something like this is going to be so great for people who, whether you enjoy it now or whether you want to get involved, it's free. This is where you need to be on September 30th.
Definitely. Yeah.
Becky, thank you so much for coming in and being a part of Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope in the future you got more stuff like this going on. Shoot me an email. Call me.
I will.
Let me know what's going on, because one of the main drives of Woods and Water, South Carolina is to get people outdoors.
That's right.
Whether you have to take the technology with you or not, and you're not going to pry that iPhone out of that kid's hand, so, you know, put it on mute.
But maybe we can get a bow in their hand instead.
That's exactly right.
Just swap something out.
Put something else in their hands that'll get them outdoors and enrich their lives, really.
That's right.
Thank you again. I hope we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's been a great show. National Hunting and Fishing Day is coming up September the 23rd. I got an email. Someone took you hunting, fishing, or shooting for the first time. Maybe it was your dad, a scout leader, a neighbor, or your best friend growing up. Whoever it was, someone took you that first time. And Richard Childress, who's the honorary chairman of the National Hunting and Fishing Day, did a YouTube video that's great, and I want you to listen to it.
Hi, I'm Richard Childress. I've been in NASCAR for over 4 decades as a driver, as a team owner, and I've loved almost every minute of it. But I've got a secret to confess to. I've got another love that I'm just as passionate about. The outdoor sports like hunting, fishing, and shooting, and all the conservation efforts these sports make possible. Some of my fondest memories are squirrel hunting with my stepfather in the woods of North Carolina, and bass fishing in local ponds and rivers. That's why I'm so excited to have the privilege to serve as the honorary chairman of National Hunting and Fishing Day, which falls on September 23rd. Oh. This special day was established by Congress as a way to recognize hunters and anglers for their leadership in fish and wildlife conservation. And this year, we're doing something special. Between now and September 23rd, if you pledge to take someone with you on your next outdoors adventure, you will be automatically entered to win a VIP race weekend for you and a friend, or a weekend of outdoors fun at the famous Big Cedar Lodge in beautiful Ozark Mountains. So go to nhfday.org to take the pledge and enter for your chance to win today.
Be sure you get both beads, that bead pulled down in that front one.
Remember, someone took you hunting, fishing, or shooting for the first time. And today, I'm asking you to do the same. You'll not only help preserve our sporting and conservation heritage, but you'll also get a chance to win a truly one-of-a-kind prize. As sportsmen and women, it's up to us to make sure our traditions are passed down to the next generation. That's why I hope you'll join me in taking the pledge today. You ready?
Let's go.
I really should have introed that as the calendar events, which is always brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing and Event Center. But I hope you will make a concerted effort to get out there on National Hunting Fishing Day or sometime this year and get someone else involved in the outdoors. Pass it along. We say that a lot, but do we really do it as often as we should? Speaking of, if you're a homeschooler, you got fall homeschool day at Chimney Rock coming up on Wednesday, September the 20th. You can go to chimneyrockpark.com for more information. They're going to talk about leaves, predators and preys, butterfly migrations, bears. Looks like a really good program. If you've got Wednesday afternoon, the 20th off, you can go up there and take part in that. The Big Bass Tour is coming to Lake Murray on September 23rd and 24th. Go to bigbasstour.com tournaments and look for Lake Murray if you're interested. It's got a kind of a funny setup where every hour they have a winner. So for some of you bass fishermen, that could be something you want to do. You know, Anthony Gage, they already caught a 6-pound largemouth down there during the cup, which on top water, which is pretty cool. The Bluffton Boiled Peanut Festival is coming September the 23rd. We all love boiled peanuts. They got cook-offs, all sorts of activities during the day. It's in Bluffton, South Carolina. You can go to Visit Bluffton and get more information about that. And one more thing is one more paddle. This is from Devil's Fork State Park, Salem, South Carolina, September the 26th. They're going to have a paddle. Summer's almost over, but not quite yet. Don't miss the chance to try out the latest paddling equipment without purchasing it while also enjoying a peaceful two-night stay at a mountain villa. Come and join us at Devil's State Park. Try out various models of kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, canoes. Kick back and relax by Lake Jocassee, one of the most luxurious villas offered up there. Tuesday, September 26th through Thursday, September 28th. Lessons are available. Demonstrations, too. That's Devil's Fork State Park. Fall is coming. Make time to get out there. It's, you know, whether you're going down and learning how to go backpacking down at the Pickens County Outdoor Adventures Day. If you're going and picking up Eva Shockey's book, Taking Aim, it's a good read. It really is. It's interesting. It's easy to read. It's not complicated. You come out the other side of the book knowing a little more about Eva Shockey than you would think. Just a really good lady, a really good role model for not only, like I said, young women, but also hunters in general. It's not bad. It's, what, $25? Good read. And it's hardcover. I love hardcover books. So anyway, as always, make time to get out there. Take the back roads when you can because, man, that's where South Carolina comes alive. And don't forget that camera. You're easily distracted by me. There's lots of pictures you want to take home with you. Glad you tuned in for the show today. Hope you'll be back next week with more Woods and Water South Carolina.
Yes, I'm born Carolina.